little bit of a coming back of what was happening over here. So Gidon was already chasing after everybody that Binyanim had.
That's what?
Perek Yud Dalet, I got.
That's right.
Yeah, Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Dalet. So Gidon had already defeated his enemies. The enemies were completely gone. He was now coming back from war against the Midyanim and the Amalekim and the all the people of the East. He was coming back from battle completely. And now, when he was on the way out there, what had happened was he had stopped by the city of Sukkos, and he said to them, look, we're starving. We've been fighting all night long. We need something to eat. Do you have anything for us to eat? So the people of Sukkos turned in. They looked at him, and they said, oh, yeah? Did you win the war yet? When you win the war, come back to us. So Gideon's like, okay, when we come back, we're going to show you what we're going to do. And then he looked at Penuel, and he said, can you guys help us anything? Penuel was a city right by there, and Penuel said the same thing. They said, we've got a tower. We're not worried about anything. So Gidon said, okay, so let's see what happens when we get back. So they're done. They already defeated them. It was right before sunrise, some say before sunset. Pasuk Yudalit says, Vayilkad nar me'anshe Sukkos. They captured a young lad from the men of Sukkos. Vayishalei, when they asked him, Vayichtov lov asari Sukkos v'sakenel, shiv v'shiv ish. He wrote down all the officers of Sukkos and all the elders of the city, 77 men. Just that. Do you think you would be able to name the president and Congress if somebody came up to you and said to you, like, maybe you get the president and vice president. Do you know who the secretary of state is?
You know the House.
Like, this guy wrote down.
Speaker of the House.
I know, like, what? Yeah, I know, like, one or two.
Cabinet members.
Yeah, maybe. You know, like, five, you know, at the most. This kid was, I got 77 men. Wrote them all down for Gino, and he was able to tell them all. So clearly, there's a different kid. And he came to the men of Sukkos, and he said, Hine Zevach v'tzalmuna shechraftem osi lemor. Here's Zevach, here's Tzalmuna. You were making fun of me before, saying, Hakav Zevach v'tzalmuna atib yadecha. Do you have Zevach and Tzalmuna in your hands? Ki nitin la'anashem ha'yefim lachem. That you should get, we should give your weary men bread. Vayikach zikne'ir. He took the elders of the city, Ves kotzei ha'midbor, and the huge thorn of the desert. There's a barkanim and all the thistles as well. By Yoda Behemasan Shisukos, and he made sure the people of Sukkos knew the thorns. He made them suffer. He made them scratch up against their skin and made them suffer. Now, Gidon was an unbelievable unav. We've seen like 100 times already that Gidon was an unav beyond belief. But he understood if this is what these people are going to do, they're evil. And he said, I'm not going to let them have this. Cannot wait like this. There's no way I can let this happen. And that's why they went right for them, and they made sure that happened. As Migdal Penuel, and then they went to Penuel, the tower of Penuel Nasatz, he knocked it down. But Yarog is on Shearin, as well as killing many of the men of the city. Now, it's very, very interesting. Why do you go for a child, not an adult? Simply put, he knew a child wouldn't lie to him. So he went to a child because he knew that was going to be over there. Why did Gidon feel there were Chai Misa? Because once you see that a leader is clearly accepted, and Gidon was accepted by the people by fighting this war, you can't go against that leader. A Jewish leader like that, you can't rebel against him like that, especially if it's up against enemies that are not Jewish. They're going to be on Midian side? That was the most ridiculous thing in the world. So he gave them Musar, and he showed them what he was going to do over here. It seems that the men of Sukkos were injured. They were hit with the thorns, but they were not killed. It doesn't sound like he actually killed them there. Instead, Vayoda, he made them know how serious the sin was that they had gone to and do. Maybe he gave them suffering, things like that.
Them, you make them into martyrs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why would you do that? But by Penuel, it was a problem. He went to go knock down the tower, and he was successful in knocking down the tower. But the people of Penuel fought back when he started knocking down the tower. He said, this is what I told you I was going to do. I said, if I come back, I'm going to destroy the tower. And they started fighting back, and he had no choice but to kill them for going up against them. And that's why it says, Vayaharug es anshei iria, to kill the people of the city. It's possible those people were Jewish. It's possible the people were not Jewish, the people that he had killed. But he definitely killed people of the city. And Pasuk Yechaz, Vayomer el Zevach v'Tzalmuna, he said to Zevach v'Tzalmuna, the two generals that were left, or even Zev already dead. Zevach v'Tzalmuna are the only ones left. Eifo anashem asher ragtem b'Tavor. Where are the men that you killed in Tavor, right? The people that then, I heard you killed some people. What did they look like? Vayomer, and they said, Kamocha kamohem. Whatever happened to you, that's what happened to them. You know, in other words, they look like you. Echa b'kitor b'nei ha-melech. They look the appearance of the son of the king. V'yomar achai, they were my brothers, b'nei mi, the sons of my own mother, heim. Chai Hashem, by the life of God, luach ha-yisim osam, had you let them live, lo rak de'ischam, I wouldn't kill you. The rule of war back in the day was, if you captured a king, you could kill them at war, while you're at war, but after the war was finished, you were not allowed to kill them. And Gideon was abiding by that law. That was the law. So he wasn't going to kill them. But he had just heard that they had killed his own brothers for no reason. The brothers weren't doing anything bad. The fact that he had killed them, the fact that they had killed him, his brothers, he said, now you deserve to die. And decided he was going to kill them instead, in exchange, I guess, as sort of a punishment of what they had done over here. Some say that they, what their line was, kamocha kamohem, your end should be like their end. That this, they were still acting brazenly as if they were ready. They had come in with an army of 100,000 soldiers up against an army of 300 soldiers and lost horribly. I guess they had to save face in some way, yeah, because he sent away all the other people, right? So therefore, they had to save face somewhere. This is what they did. But Yomer Yeser Bechoro, he said to Yeser, his oldest son, Kuma Rogosum, get up and kill them. But the young guy, the young lad, would not take out his sword. He was afraid. He was still a kid. He was a little afraid over here. Now, there were two reasons why he thought Yeser didn't want to do so. Number one, he thought it would be disrespectful. He thought it was going to be disrespectful to go out and do this when his father and the other elders were not doing it. He said, I don't know if this is me.
He was ordered by his father to do it.
Agreed. But he said, this isn't the order of war. That's not normally what you do. Number two, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had put it in his head. He was not going to be a leader of Klal Yisrael in the future. Yeser. Yeser, the Bechor of Gideon.
So how did Gideon come to the conclusion that he could kill those people because his brothers were killed?
Because his brothers were killed. Well, I mean, that is murder, right?
They had murdered God, so in that regard, obviously...
No. But he still, especially because... because it was part of the war. That he was allowed to do. What?
He was also a shofet.
He was a shofet at this point. Right, so he could make the decision with Ruach HaKodesh, with Nevuah, of what he wanted to do over here.
Yes, sir, over on Kibbutz of Aim?
So, yes, but...
Well, he wasn't being told to commit a sin.
No, it wasn't. But on the other hand, he did look at his father and say, number one, it's disrespectful. I don't want to do it in front of everybody else. But number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had put it inside his head. This was going to be a sign to Gideon that his sons were not going to be roy to become kings. So when they ask him later on to become king, Gideon says, no, it's not for me. Because look what happened to Yeser, my son. Yeser's not going to be over there. So the Abarbanel says just that. He understood from here, it's not going to happen and that's going to be over there. For the king's part, they were really happy. Right, they were happy. Vayomer Zevas Hamuna Kumatov Gabanu. Why don't you get up and kill us? Kikayish Gvuraso. We don't want to die by the hands of a child. We want to die by your hand, by your strength. You know, it seems strange that we're going to die by him. Plus, obviously, you're going to be powerful, and when you kill us, we'll die quickly. If your son kills us, he's going to miss, and we're going to be suffering horribly. So they said, we don't want to die by him. Vayakum Gidon Vayarug Zevas Hamuna Vayikach Saronim Asher Vitzavregim Aleihem. And he took the crescents. They had moon crescents that were on the necks of their camels, and he took them for himself. That was Gideon's present. Now, right there was the beginning of the downfall of Gideon.
How did they still have anything of value anyways?
Well, they was leading them. Yeah, but they were leading them on their horses. So he had on their horses. The horses had those crescents, these huge crescents, and took them. All of a sudden, Gideon, slowly but surely, is starting to get gaiva. And this happens all the time. You start off on a low level with anivos, with humility and whatever, and then all of a sudden you get something like, oh my gosh, this is what I really want.
But why did it start up here?
Why did it start?
Meaning, he took the crescents, and then Rebbe said that was the beginning.
It's money. It's money.
That's what
all of a sudden, money started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden, something awesome is happening. Vayomer Ish Yisrael Gideon, the men of Yisrael said to Gideon, Mishol banu gam atah gam bincha gam ben benecha. You rule over us. Your son, your grandson, that's what Bnei Yisrael said to Kyo, Shatanu miyad Minyan. You should save us from the hands of Minyan. You've been able to save us from the hands of Minyan. Look what you could do. They were tired. The Jewish people were tired. We don't want Shoftim anymore. We've only had five of them, but we don't want them anymore, right? We're done with Shoftim. Whenever a Shofet died without a leader, it was horrible. We want a king. We want to put a king up. We want to have somebody. So they said to him, Mishol Banu, you be our ruler. And then your son, and then your grandson, and everything. Okay, maybe he won't be the most capable person, but at least we won't have those in-between areas where the shofet is gone and we don't know what to do, and right there. I'm not going to rule. My son's not going to rule. Hashem is going to rule, which was the right answer. Yeah. That was the right answer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be in charge. It's 100%. Can you imagine being named the President of the United States and saying, thank you, but no thanks?
I can imagine.
I don't want it.
Why would anyone want that kind of responsibility?
Wait That's until insane. You're appointed and then all of a sudden tell me that you didn't want it. You got the most coveted in the world. You're the one in charge of everything. You can do whatever you want. There are very few people that are willing to do this and to be able to say this over here. And not only for him, but his son's son. And he said it the right way. He said, neither me nor my son will rule over you. His son, Avimelech, did take over. but Abimelech did not rule over them. We'll talk about that as we come to it. That's going to be over there. He achieved the greatness only
the
because.
First
yeah.
Point in Nah that we see the request made.
Yes, for a king. It's the first time. And
it's,
why?
It's made in the Torah,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is made in the Torah, meaning it said you will eventually get one. And they almost made one over here, but Gideon said no. You should just know they saw. The reason why they wanted him over anybody else is because they saw this is a humble person who can be forceful when he needs to.
Right, yeah.
Right? He's
that's
willing to force his way in, and that was awesome.
That's what Shaul lacked.
We don't know anything about Asniel other than the fact that he was a massive Talmud Chacham and won wars. We know nothing else about him.
What more do
you want? Well, I agreed. But meaning this is a person who we know has humility. We know, right, was able
well,
to
was
punish when he needed
Shaul
to punish. Shaul Malach was like that.
So
they saw it in him. They saw that he was that type of person they wanted him king. I'm going to ask a question, he says, Pasuk Chavdalu. Tnuli Ish. Every man should give me Nezem Shalom. I'm not going to be your king. But I'd like you to start giving me gold. Right there. Do you understand this? He's just like he's going on. I'm going to take all the nose rings. That's what I want. They all had them, right? They were Yishmaelim. She said, voluntarily, guys, I'd like you to give me the gold. Now, who's going to say no to that? Who's going to be like, no, I'd rather keep it for myself? Everybody's like, okay. So they went down and gave him the gold. Surely we will give. Come on. How could we not? They spread out a shirt. Everybody took the nose rings out and they put it inside of Zov. There were 1,700 golden earrings, shkalim of zav, levami saronim, aside from those crescents of gold, van nitifos, as well as, I don't know, whatever they
pendants.
Were, the clothes, or big day. I don't know. Netifos are pendants? Maybe. Oh, did I write that? Yeah, I did. Ubigdi argam and purple clothing shall malchi Midian and the kings of Midian. Ulabad mi nanakos as shepherds of Regamalay. They also had, there were necklaces on the camels, because I put necklaces on my camels all the time. Vyasas of Gidon la'ephod. Gidon took all of that gold and turned it into an ephod. We know what an ephod is, right? An ephod is an apron that's used by the Kohen Gadol that's part of the Choshen that allows you to be able to read the Urim Mitumim, etc. He made it into an ephod itself. Vyatsego sobi ira ba'afra. And he said, set it up in his city, in Ophrah. He put it in that city. And unfortunately, the Jews started straying after it. And it became a snare for Gideon and his house. He made something that was horrible. He made a replica of the ephod in the Choshen. An actual replica, which you are not allowed to do. It made little differences. The apron was not in the back like the Kohen Gadol. It was in the front, right, with the breastplate in the back. But nonetheless, he made one for Menashe specifically because Menashe never got to be on the actual Choshen. Yosef was, but Menashe didn't get to be on it as well. Some say that it actually could answer questions the way that a regular Choshen and Ephod could, that it worked like the Urim Mitumim, and he was able to infuse it with Kedusha, in which if you wanted to ask it a question, it worked. Some say it was through Ruach HaKodesh, some say it was through magic, and he actually used magic over here. It is absolutely Usher. He did it as a memorial to see what people would do and how it would be, and since it was made out of the gold of the army, all the rings of the gold of the army, everybody would see, oh, wow, there were that many people out there, that many Midianim, and you defeated all of them? It would be like something like that. But unfortunately, it did not work out that way, and it became a massive stumbling block. And some say it was because of this that Gideon's children were all killed, because they all strayed after it and felt that this is their way of communicating with God. But Yikana Midian lifnei b'nei Yisrael, they humbled themselves in front of b'nei Yisrael, v'leyasu l'seis rosham, they couldn't lift up their heads anymore, v'tishkar aretz arboim shana b'mei Gideon, 40 years of quiet during the years of Gideon, which is awesome. V'elech Yerubal ben Yoash v'yishu v'beiso. Yerubal then went out, the son of Yoash, and he lived in his house. And here is the problem. Do you know where the word v'yishuv is used? Beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. Does anybody remember the very beginning Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev? Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Bishalva. Yaakov wanted to live tranquilly, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that doesn't work well for tzaddikim. This is what happened. He wanted to live tranquilly. He's like, look, you guys are good without me. I don't really need to do much. It's been happy and quiet and everything. So he went to go sit down. That doesn't happen well. Some say he continued to function as a judge itself, but now he got involved. Like, you know how you shivim banim. He had 70 sons, Yotzi Reichel, that came from his loins. Kinoshim Rabos Hayulo. He had many, many wives. Most Meforshim, including Abarbanel, says this was totally improper of him. Yeah. He got married to like a ton of wives, had a ton of kids,
After
all this had happened, right? What he should have done is occupy himself with the needs of the community, help them and be able to lead them
or
in the right place, etc., learn, etc. But no, not like that. He instead went by everybody else. Others say, no, it was proper. He was going through all the virtues of his children. He had a lot of tzaddikim for children, except for Abimelech, right? They were all fit to be heirs. But it is crazy. 70 kids. Ula Pilagsha, Sheb Yishchan, he had one concubine in Shechem. And that concubine in Shechem, Yoldulo Gamhi Bain. Vayasim Shmo Avimelech, he made his name Avimelech. What does it mean he had a Pelegish in Shechem? Here's what happened. Gideon used to travel from place to place just to make sure that everything was going okay. So he needed people in every place. When I come to Shechem, I'm going to have an extra person just in case. Like a wife that didn't travel with him wherever he went, and he went in and got that. And that's exactly what he had. So he had a Pelegish. He had this little Pelegish that was right over there, and unfortunately, right, that was where Avimelech of Yomas Gidom ben Yoash, the Seva Toiva, in good old age, by Yikover Bekever Yoash, Aviv, he was buried in the Kever of Yoash's father. Hold on, the Ofra Avia Ezri, in Ofra Avia Ezri right over there. Now, there are only three people that died in a good old age. Avram, David, and Gidom. That means that everything Gideon set out to do in this world, he did. Whatever he was supposed to do, his job in this world was 100% accomplished, same way that Avram and David were able to accomplish everything he was supposed to do. Unfortunately, he messed up with what he did with the Avod itself, but nonetheless, he did die in that way. Number two, he was buried in the Kever of Yoash. Remember Yoash? He was one of the Ovdei Baal. He served Baal. He must have done tshuva, because otherwise Gideon would never have been buried in such a place. After Gideon died, then they returned and they started worshiping the Baalim again. They started following Baal Bris. Baal Bris, we don't know much about this. Most likely, it was a Baal that was involved with Bris Mila, that they made a deal with the Baal, with Baalim. And remember, the Baal was a male idol, usually used as a phallic symbol, meaning it was usually used as fertility, and it had an actual, it looked like an actual man itself. Baal Bris means that they made a bris with this Baal, and they considered it a god. We've already met Baal Peor. We know Baal Peor was the doo-doo idol, right? We already know about Baal Zvuv, the Azelbub. That's Baal Zvuv, where they believed that he had some control over the netherworld and things like that. We've met Baal Tsephon, which the Egyptians believed in, which was the god of dogs and gold. That we've already met. Baal Bris is the fourth and last Baal that we have. There's Baal Ma'on, but we don't know anything about Baal Ma'on. Baal Bris is out there, and likely was involved with this. It's possible that this also involved human sacrifice. Just like a Bris Mila was a sacrifice of that area of the body, it's possible that Baal Bris was that as well. For those Alchemy Yisrael, Hashem Elokeim, they did not remember Hashem, their God. Hamatzel, some of the God called Evan Misaviv, who saved them from all their gods from around. And they did not do chesed with the house of Yerubal, who is Gidon, right? All the good that he had done with Bnei Yisrael. They were ungrateful. It was totally ironic. When he was alive, they wanted him to become king. When he's dead, they're like, yeah, whatever. It is what it is, right? And that's that. That's how bad it was when it went through. Some say that Vayihi is voi vahoi. It was such a woe. They couldn't believe that they all of a sudden descended in such horrible straits and they went down that badly. Look in Paraktas, guys. He went to Shechem. Elachayimah to the brothers of his mother. Remember, his mother was the Pelegish who lived in Shechem. And he spoke to them as well as the family, the father of his mother's house, saying the following: why don't you speak to the ears of all the leaders of Shechem? Is it good for you to be ruled over by 70 men, my brothers, the sons of Gidon? Or would you rather be ruled by one man? And I want you to remember that I am your flesh and blood. Like, not just any man. I want that man to be me. Let me be that guy right over here. Number one, Yerubal. Do you notice he says, Kol b'nei Yerubal? Not Gidon, but b'nei Yerubal. The pshat is, he claimed he was the true descendant of Yerubal. I'll also be a fighter. I'll also be a leader. I'll also be someone who's willing to do this. And therefore, you should remember me, and I'm the one who's going to be able to help you. I'm the fighter over here. Others say, the people of Shechem believed in Baal. And he said, my name is also Yerubal. Doesn't that mean fights the Baal? No. It means Baal fights for me. Like, he used that as his line, that I'm part of Baal itself, right? He worshipped the Baal. That's what the Mincha Belula says in the Kli Yakar as well. So the kash is this. Obviously, he's going to kill his entire family. He's going to kill everybody out there. Why in the world would HaKadosh Baruch Hu let that happen? How in the world could HaKadosh Baruch Hu let this evil person kill 70 of his brothers who were all tzaddikim?
How could he let Achav and Izeb?
You're right. It's a kash over there as well. It's a kash over there as well. Like, why is this being allowed? On the leadership level, Gidon is, Avimelech, I should say, is the only shofet, and I'm using the air quotes for that, shofet, who's technically totally evil, who doesn't do anything good. What's shot over here? Gidon was a humble person, but Gidon failed in his duty of the leader of, to be the leader of the people, and what's happening over here. How did this happen? So the pshat is, it's because he didn't strengthen his family well enough, Gidon. He had 70 kids, but he didn't strengthen them. He didn't get them ready for what was going to be over here. Unfortunately, it became horrible for Klal Yisrael because of this. Shechem has never been good for the Jews. Never been good for the Jews. When Yaakov and Esav were small children, their mother Rivka took them out for a walk in the fields. They came to a cave, and inside they found the body of the wicked king Nimrod. crazy story, right? First of all, we always thought that Esav killed Nimrod.
Right.
So for some reason, this Medrash says it's not there. He had a crown in his head and a sword in his hand with a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name written on it. That's Nimrod's sword. Rivka took the crown and sword and gave them to Yaakov and took Nimrod's clothes and gave them to Esav. Right, these are the clothes that Hashem had given to other Marishan Gan Eden, given down to Chanoch, given to Mesushalach, Mesushalach gave them to Noach, Noach to Chum, to Shem, Chum stole them and gave them to Canaan, who gave them to Nimrod. Right, so Nimrod had those clothes, that was given to Esav itself. Yaakov was fine with that, but Esav was still reluctant. He said, I don't want to give up the land of Israel, right, for just these clothes. I don't want to do that over there. That doesn't make any sense over there. So they made a deal, but they sort of didn't make a deal, where Esav said, give me the sword, and I'll give you Eretz Yisrael. And that was the deal that they made. Everybody asked the question, he sold it for lentil soup? Right? Well, was that really it? No. Esav wanted the sword, so he asked Yaakov to give him the sword, and the sword was in exchange of whatever Eretz Yisrael was, still, the Bechorah, etc.
That's still ridiculous.
The sword was an awesome sword with God's name.
But Eretz Yisrael is literally an infinite amount of wealth.
Well,
it's insane how much more. Yeah,
that's
a ridiculous deal anyways.
But this sword could get you anything you needed.
So he would
it
kill
was sort of like
so you can get
it's
it
sort of like the genie of the lamp, you know? Like that's really what it is. The sword is. It's going around there. But it's unbelievable. So Yaakov said, okay, I'll give you one city in Eretz Yisrael. And he gave Esav Shechem. That city remained in the hands of Esav for a very, very long time. It's one of the Ari Miklats. It's technically not that guy. I think it was part of the deal. Like, he gave him one thing and he allowed that. That's number one. Number two, we all know what happened with Shechem and Hamor, you know, with Dinah, etc., and what had happened over there. And then B'nai Yisrael going ahead and destroying the people of Shechem, right, and killing them. And then the war, the big war, almost the comic book war, the B'nai, you know, the people who tried defending versus the B'nai Yaakov. And then later on, Shechem became the home of the Shomronim. Shomronim were the good Samaritans. Where you get that from? It's from the Shomronim, who believed in Torah Shavuot Chesav, did not believe in Torah Shavuot Peh. They lived in Shechem. They worshipped the Rav Odeh Zarah in Shechem, and they were all there. Avimelech was 100% false over here. It's unbelievable that he said, when he said all 70 are going to rule over them together, right, and you'd rather have one person over there, come on. There was no indication that the brothers were going to rule over them together. They didn't want to be king at all, right? Who knows what was going on over here. They said in the ears of everybody in Shechem, as called Bimela, they said over all these words, hey, who do you want? Do you want this guy? You want those 70? And their hearts turned toward Abimelech, because they said, hey, he's our bro. This guy's our brother. We should go ahead and do this. I think this is the best thing to be able to do over here. That's what ended up happening over here. They gave him 70 silver pieces from the house of Balbris. And Avimelech hired empty-headed people, pochazim, and robbers, and they all followed with them. The reason why they're called Rakim is because they had no social status and they had no morals whatsoever. They didn't care whatsoever. They were up for adventure. That's what they did. Pochazim, they were unstable. They were completely unstable. He took a bunch of guys that were completely unstable.
He had little pirates on land.
And they were like, yard.
Yeah, exactly.
A hired army. He had a hired goons that were with them wherever he is, right?
Hired goons, right?
Wherever. He had hired goons to go wherever they absolutely had and anything he wanted. Vayoko Akhrov. Vayoko based Aviv Afra. So he went to his father's house in Afra. He killed 70 men on one stone. I want you to remember that line, that he killed them on one stone. The only one that survived was Yosem, the son of Yerubal. The youngest one, he had hidden, and therefore he was able to go through. Why was this so bad? He went to his father's house. You can imagine, they're like, oh, brother, you're back. And he's just like, I'm going to kill all of you. He killed his own brothers, and he killed, it's Gidon's children. Gidon was the one who was in charge. Everybody should have believed in him. Milo, the people of Shechem and Beis Milo, they came. They made him king. This huge oak tree that was in Shechem. Yes, the Elon Mutzav is exactly the location where Yaakov had buried the idols that he took away from the Shvatim when they had come into Eretz Yisrael that they had taken from Shechem itself. That was the power of the idols that had gotten to Avimelech over here. He was not considered to be a real king. He was never even considered to be a shofet. He usurped this power, but it did not go well.
Avimelech,
I'm sorry? No. Son of Yipi Lagesh. Yeah, that's all it
Wait,
is.
Wait, but was he, I'm sorry, were the idols, did they dig them up? Or
no.
Was it just the power of the land?
They were underneath there. The power of the land was right there. There was something behind it. They told it over to Yosem. So Yosem went all the way up to Har Gerizim. If you remember, there were two mountains, Har Gerizim and Har Evel, that we talked about in Yoshua. Har Gerizim was the good mountain where they got the brachos. Right? Vayisa Kolo, he lifted up his voice, Vayikra, and he called Avayim. Shimu Eli Baal Shechem, listen to me, people of Shechem, Yishma Eleichem Elohim. Right? May God listen to you as well. Halokho Hua Eitzim Lashoach Eleim Melech. The trees have gone to anoint a king over themselves. We want you, O olive tree, to be the king over us. And the Zayas said, do you want me to stop making my oil that I have, which honors man and God, in order to go rule over the trees themselves? Everybody agrees that Yosem was saying this mushal, so he didn't have to say anything directly. He thought if he said something directly, Avimelech might get really angry and go after him. He wanted to give a mushal, so he'd be like, okay, this is what's happening right now, and go through here. I will talk about in a second what this mushal stands for, but for right now, the Zayas. So then they went to the fig tree. L'chi'at malchi aleinu. You become king over us. And the fig said, hechdalti es muski. Should I lose my sweetness, vestinu vasi, and all my good fruit, hatova? If I'm going to go rule over the trees? No. I'm not going to lose everything I have. They said to the grapevine, why don't you rule over us? And the grapevine said, should I lose my wine that makes everybody happy? If I should go and rule over the trees themselves? And then all of the trees went to the thorn bush. You, O thorn bush, you should rule over us. And the thorn bush said to the trees, if you want me really to be king, I'm on top of you. Bo chasu betzili. Then come, sit in my shade. Does a thorn bush have much shade? No. Probably not. Bim ayin teitzei esh minatav v'tolcha zar zeil v'ron. And if not, a fire should come out from the thorn bush and it should consume all the cedars of the Lebanon itself. Now that's the end of the technical mushal that we have over here. Okay? Now, what's going on over here with the mushal itself? There were three trees he talked about, the olive, the fig, and the grape all together. They represent three different types of people that are fit to be rulers. The first is someone who comes from a respected family. A respected family is referred to by the olives themselves. He is the most desirable because even if he makes mistakes, people are going to love him because of his noble ancestors. He's going to be the most dedicated in the interests of the nation because he's the one, his own fortune is dedicated to what they are doing and everything like that. He's also willing to sacrifice everything over here. The oil of the olive is used to anoint kings and priests, the same way it's used for anything else, right? And that's the idea behind it. When he said lanua, the olive, the most important thing for it was it didn't want to have the inconvenience of having to move around. A very important person who's born from status doesn't usually want to be in charge of other people. He's happy with where he is and what he's been doing, and that's that. Then came the next person, the fig. The fig represents great wealth. He's the next best. And the reason why he's the next best is because he can provide for the needs of the nation themselves, meaning all the resources that's right there. But the problem is he doesn't want to lose his money. So he doesn't want to become king because he knows if he becomes king, he's going to lose his money. He's not going to be able to work. There's no way he's not going to be able to do it. So he doesn't want to become king. Then comes the grapevine. The grapevine represents a wise man. If you can't get a man of status, if you can't get a man who's very, what's it called, who's very wealthy, then at least go for a wise man over here, and then people are going to follow him. Grapes and wine enhance your ability to think properly when used in the right way. It can also make you very stupid. And that's exactly what he said. He said, but I want to be happy. I don't think I'm going to be happy if this happens in any other way. What's up?
I mean, aside from Shlomo HaMelech, yes. Really, the other two kings, Shaul and David, did they come from... I mean, I know they were from the lineage.
David HaMelech, yes, because Yishai was extremely chashuv. Remember, and his great-great-grandfather was Boaz. So he did have very chashuv people in his family. Yishai was a massive Rosh Shiva. Shaul HaMelech, that's exactly his taina. His taina was, I'm from the youngest of all the Shvatim, why are you picking me?
Right.
That's his whole line. And Hashem wanted humility more than anything else. That's why he was picked. But that's the idea behind it. There is another answer. The olive tree represents Osniel ben Kenaz. Osniel ben Kenaz was a massive Talmud Chacham. And therefore he said, the olives, right? That's that. The fig was Devorah. She was sweet to Bnei Yisrael. She gave herself up for them. She was like the sweetness of the fig. And then Gidon was the grape. Wine, he poured on everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave up everything that he had for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he crushed himself in order to do everything over there. The thorn is Avimelech, obviously, that only takes nourishment and can't do anything back. There's nothing he can do instead. So what Yosem was saying is, did Osniel want to become king? No. Did Devorah want to become king? No. Did Gidon want to become king? No. Right? Now you're picking Avimelech? You're picking the worst of the worst. There's nothing better than that. That's the idea behind it. So now, that once they said all that, then he looked at them and he said, some say that this is actual sarcasm. He's like, you know, when it says the shade and everything like that, the thorns only annoy and hurt people and that's that. But it could be this is sincere. And here's the way to look at it. He looked at it and he said, look, I don't know what you guys are thinking. Maybe you guys are actually L'shem Shamayim involved over here and you think that Avimelech is going to be a good person. He's a thorn. He can't do anything right and he's only able to hurt people. But maybe you have something that's there. He does have qualifications. If you feel that he's mamish qualified to do this and you can sit in his shade, in be'emes atem moshkim osilu melech aleichem, says Avimelech, bo chasu b'tzili, then you'll find that I do have shade for you and you'll be able to. But if not, if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, then killing 70 people to start off your kingdom is not going to work. There's no way that's going to work to be able to go through. And that's the idea behind it. And that's what he says. All the trees came over here. Before it said the trees, over here he says all the trees. Kola eats him a latod, right? He was wondering, maybe it's Choshover, maybe there is something. Vata. In Pasuk Tes Zayin, guys. In Be'emes with some Asisim, if you're doing this with truth and sincerity. Vatamlicho is Avimelech v'im tova Asisim, and you wanted Avimelech to be coming and you're doing this in a good way. Im Rubal v'im Beso, in order to give a gift to Rubal and his house. V'inki Gmol Yadav Asisim, and you're doing exactly what Gidon did to you. He saved you, so therefore you're giving back to him. Asher Nilcham Avi Aleichem, you know my father fought for you. He threw his soul into the group in order to try to save you from the hands of Midian. You're getting up against my father's house city, and you already killed 70 of his men, 11 achas, and one stone. And you made Avimelech the son of his maidservant, right? You made him king of Balishchem because you were his brother. If you're doing it in the right reasons, have fun with Avimelech, and he'll have fun with you. If not, it's going to consume all of you. The fire from Avimelech is based Milo. They say to Avimelech, and Avimelech will be consumed as well. That's how I think it's going to be over here. I don't think you mean it. But Yonos Yosem, Yosem immediately ran away. He escaped. He ran away. He lived there because of Avimelech, his brother. We never hear from Yosem ever again. By Yosar, Avimelech Yisrael Shloshanim. I'm sorry? Nothing. We have zero from him ever again. He gave a great mashal.
Yeah,
and that's about it. And that's all he got. He's nothing. Now, notice over here. This is the first time we see it does not say Vayishpot. Because Avimelech couldn't judge. He wasn't a judge. Right. He wasn't a chacham. There was nothing like that. It's Vayosar. He was a sar. He was an officer. He was a person who ruled. But that's that. He did it with force. He did it with arrogance. But he was not a proper judge. He didn't try to help anybody. He just tried to do it for his own benefit. There was an evil spirit that went in between Avimelech and the people of Shem. Yivgidu Baal Shem Avimelech, and they rebelled. Levo Chamas Shivim B'nei Rubal. And this is because of the violence that was done to the 70 sons of Rubal, the Dama Lasum al Avimelech, and their blood went on top of Avimelech Achim, Asher Harago, some that he had killed them. Vavali Shem, Asher Chizku, Yadol Harago Zachov, that he had strengthened his hands to be able to kill all of his brothers. That's why this happened over here. For 3 years, because of the Sklis of Gidon, he was allowed to rule. But after that, it was done. Totally done. But Yasimu Lebali Shem, Ma'orvim al Rosh Yaharim, and the Bali Shem then put ambushes on the roads, some just to get money back and whatever it is, others say to find Avimelech, to get Avimelech and to kill him on the roads. Since they were there and they were bored, so they stole from everybody who was coming on the roads anyway, because they're like, yeah, whatever, you know. And Avimelech was told what they were doing, and he's sitting there, he's like, ah, that's why they're doing it. Says the Ralbag, the people of Shechem saw that he was too clever to come to Shechem itself, so they started hiding for him, started going through. But Avimelech was always one step ahead, making sure they were there. Not everyone in Shechem rebelled against Avimelech. There were still people on his side in the city. But for the most part, the leaders of the city had rebelled against him. They're all gone. Vayavo Gal ben Eved. This guy has the best name in all of Tanakh. He may not be Jewish. His name is Gal ben Eved. Gal literally means disgusting poo. Ben Eved, son of a slave. Probably the best name given to anyone in all of Tanakh, aside from Hoham, of course, right? Hoham is the best. The Echav and all of his brothers. Vayavru b'Shechem. They passed by Shechem. And as they passed by Shechem, he had his own mercenaries, his own army that he had gotten together himself. And the Baalei Shechem were like, hey, you want to work for us? And they're like, sure, we got nothing to do. But Yetzu Asad, they went out to the field, but Yetzu Asad come in. Well, now finally they were able to harvest their grapes. They weren't able to do it before because they were afraid of Avimelech getting them and killing them. Now, since they had Gal on their side, this mercenary army on their side, they decided, okay, we can go ahead and do it. By Yidruchu, they stamped on them. By Yasui Lulim. And what happens when you stamp on grapes and you make a lot of wine, guys?
Celebration.
Let's make some parties. That's so he made some massive parties. And they went to their gods' houses. They ate, they drank, and they cursed out Avimelech right over here. Now that they had God to protect them, they weren't worried about anything. There's nothing to worry about. Who's Avimelech and who is Shechem? He's so drunk. He has no idea. Shechem has been dead for over 500 years, big guy. But either way, who is Shechem? Kinav Denner, that we should serve them. Hello, Ben Yerubal, Zvulpikido, Ivdu Asan Shechem, or Avishchem. Isn't he just the son of Yerubal? And Zvul is his pikid. Zvul is the mayor of the city. Zvul is his appointed one, right? Ivdu Asan Shechem, or Avishchem. I'd rather serve the people of Chamor, the father of Shechem. Why should we go ahead and serve him? If only you guys would come into my hands. Vasiris Avimelech, I would remove Avimelech. And he said to Avimelech, get up an army, Avimelech. I want to fight you. I want to go fight you. Okay. Gaal was totally and utterly drunk. He was no match for Avimelech whatsoever. Avimelech had a bigger army. He was stronger. There was no question whatsoever, right? But he even sent a messenger over to Avimelech to go tell him, to give him this challenge to be able to go through, right? That's what ended up happening over here. Vayishma Zvul Sarair. So Zvul, the mayor of the city, heard about this. Remember, I told you, not everybody in Shechem had turned. Some of them were still on his side. As Zivri Gal ben Eved. Vayicharapo, he got angry. Vayishma Malachim Avimelech Besorma. So he sent other messengers to Avimelech, you know, in a quiet way, saying, Hine Gal ben Eved Ve'achav Ba'yim Shechema. Vinam Tsarim Se'ir Alecha. They're sieging the city against you. The Atakum Laila, get up at night. Atava Amashuritach, the people that are with you. The Eruv Basada, ambush him in the field. They'll never see you coming. Vayeba Boker in the morning, Kizruach HaShemesh, Tashkim, you'll get up early in the morning when the sun shines. Vashata Elir, you'll spread out against the city. Vinuva Amashurito Yotim Alecha, all the people that are with him will go out to you. Asisla Kashutim Tziyadecha, and then you do whatever you want to do. Kliyaker says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically wanted this attack to be a surprise, so that the people of Shechem die, and then Avimelech dies as well. Everybody should die in this war. He wanted it to be an absolute end to everything over here. He knew that Gaal's arrogance would be his undoing, that it would go down. He knew what was going to happen over here. In Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Lila, got up at night. Vayervu al Shechem arba roshim. He made four heads and went against Shechem from all four sides. Vayite Gal ben Eved vayamo pesach hashara ir. So Gal ben Eved got up and he stood by the door of the city. He's drunk. He's got a massive hangover. It's really early in the morning, right? And he goes out there. Vayakum Avimelech va'amashar yitomi namarov. And they had all gotten up from their ambush, and now were running toward the city. Vayar galos ha'am, and he saw the people. Vayamol zvul. Hine am yorid marasha harim. He's like, are those people coming down the mountains? Vayamol loves zvul. It's so harim asher toru akanashim. What are you, drunk? It's just the shadows of the mountains that are coming down. That's not men. And Gaal was like, oh, okay. He was so totally gone, he saw what he was supposed to see, and zvul fooled him. But there's an old guy with Dabber. Later on, he's like, he looks again, and he's like, I'm your name, Tabura Aret. Wait a second. Now they're like right outside of the gate of the wall. They're coming from the middle of the land. There's another group that's coming from right over there. Right? Yomer loves Zvul. And Zvul said, Aye, Efo Picha, Asher Tomer, Mi Avimelech, Avdenu. Hey, where's your mouth now, big guy? Where's your mouth now, Gal? You said, who's Avimelech that we should serve him? Hello, Zal, Mashem, Astabo. Isn't this the people that you despised against? Say no, Atav Yilachambo. Go fight against them. He made sure that he wasn't ready whatsoever for this war. He still had a massive headache because, you know, he had drunk wine all night long. He got up in front of the Baalei Shechem. He got up because the Baalei Shechem were like, yeah, go fight him. And he's like, okay. And he went and fought against Avimelech. Well, guess what happened, guys? Avimelech chased after him. He ran away from him. All of his men died in massive amounts of corpses outside the gate of the city. Avimelech stayed in Aruma, and Zvul chased all of them away. They weren't able to go. Nobody ever heard from those men ever again. Did Gal actually die? I don't know. He probably ran away like a little baby.
I thought Avimelech was supposed to die.
Right? Avimelech, hold on. Yeah, don't want to give away the ending over here. Right, but that's exactly what happened. Mimacharos the next day, at what point is it considered a spoiler? If it happened 3,000 years ago, at some point, right? The next day, the people went out to the field. Now, Avimelech was told what happened. He was not done with this war. He split up into three camps. And he ambushed them in the field. They were going out from the city. He destroyed all of them. They spread out. They went out by the gates of the city. They went to every single person in the field. And they killed every single person they could find. But Ir Kol Yomahu, he fought against the city all day long. But Yokud is here, and he captured the city of Amashar Ba Harag, and he killed every single person in Shechem. He crushed the city, and then he planted it with salt. That was like the ultimate insult. You can't grow if you put salt on the field. So he purposely put salt in the field so that nothing could ever grow there any whatsoever. Avimelech was not in the mood for reconciliation. When they went out to him and said, let's make peace, he said to Shechem, no. And he went in and killed every single person he could find in Shechem. The fertile fields outside of Shechem was the source of their wealth. They were so wealthy because they had those fertile fields. Well, with salt on their fields all over the place, they're not going to be able to do anything. Avimelech permanently ruined the fields around Shechem so that nothing could happen. There wasn't going to be anything around there. Yeah, at next door.
BCD.
Yeah, should be. Yeah. Now we say in Pasuk, what time do we have?
9:08.
Oh, 9:08, so we have a little bit of time. Pasuk Menbav. So they came, all the citizens, that Tower of Shechem, they heard. They went to the stronghold by Tower of El Bris. That must have been another place, just like we saw before by Penuel, some type of tower. Same thing. That all the people had gathered. He went up to Har Tzalmon. They took axes in their hands. They cut down massive tree trunks. They carried it. They put it on his shoulder. Whatever you see me doing, do as well. Maharu asu kamoni, quickly, do like me. They all took branches. They went after Avimelech, and they put it on top of the stronghold. They lit the whole thing in fire. About 1,000 men and women that were in the tower, every single one of them died. These are the people of Shechem that escaped. He killed all of them as well, and make sure that they were completely destroyed. Then he went to Tevetz. He wasn't like done. He's like, you know what? I'm going to keep going. Because why not? He captured all of Tevetz. There was a massive tower in the city. And all the men and the women ran there. And they closed it. And they went on top of the roof of the Migdal, on top of the roof of the tower. He went up to the Migdal, and went up to the door of the tower in order to burn a fire. The same way that he had done before. He's like, all right, I'll get this one in fire also. But he went too far. Kadosh Baruch Hu convinced him to go too far. One woman threw a spindle thing, I don't know what they call it, a grinding stone, out the window. A millstone. Al Rosh Avimelech, on the head of Avimelech. Vataritz es Golgolto. It crushed his skull, but he's not dead. Vayikra Meher Alar, and he quickly called out to the Nar. Hold on, no say Caleb.
Randomly throw something out the window. And
oh, it's not over yet. Vayikra Meher Alar, he quickly called out to the Nar, no say Caleb, the person who's carrying his stuff. Vayomelo Shlof Harbakal Moseni. Take out your sword and you kill me. Pen Yomeli Isha Ragasu, so that no one says that a woman has killed me. His pride wouldn't even let him die normally. So the Nar that was with him was like, with pleasure, sir. And killed him without even a Shaila. By Sholomelech, his Nar wouldn't do it. And right, Sholomelech had to do it himself. Here, and over there by Sholomelech, was because he was afraid of being taken captive by the Plishim and tortured. Here, Avimelech didn't have, he was dying. He's just like, get me first. What is wrong with you? But still, nonetheless, this is the Midah Keneged Midah. The stone that was thrown out from the top and the sword that eventually killed him reminded everyone of the stone that he had killed by the sword his 70 brothers. And that was the Midah Keneged Midah. He did that, and that's why everything happened over here. By Yerushi Soki Mes Avimelech, all Bnei Saul saw that Avimelech had died. They're like, oh, well, we're out. They had nothing else to do. They were sitting like, okay, we're done. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought back everything that he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers, brought back to him. He brought it to them. And the curse of Yosem ben Rubal exactly happened exactly as it was supposed to be. All right, we'll stop with that, guys. We're up to Perek Yud.
Jews are not